You are listening to the Hill City Church Podcast. Our mission is to become and make disciples who walk with God, connect with people, and impact the world.
You ready to run? I'm like halfway ready to run. I'm wearing spandex under this getup right here. So if anyone wants to fit a 5K in between services, I'll meet you out front. There's an old running proverb that goes like this. I was running, and I became thirsty. So I prayed, God, give me some water. And then the sun came out from behind the clouds, and it got even hotter. So I continued running, and I became hungry. And I prayed, God, would you give me something to eat? And then a wild dog started chasing me. I said I wanted to eat food, not be food. And so I ran even faster, and my lungs started burning, my legs started cramping, and I prayed, God, would you take this pain away? And then, do you know what happened next? I came around the corner, and there was a huge hill. I said, God, why won't you answer my prayers? And then one day, I ran a race. It was long, and it was extremely difficult. And I prayed, God, would you give me the strength to run this race? And I ran in the heat of the day over the mountains. I was being chased by other runners. And God said, you remember that one time when I didn't give you something to drink, when I didn't give you something to eat, when I didn't take away your pain? That's because I was answering this prayer. And now you have your strength. David Horton, AKA The Runner, is one of the biggest names in endurance sports. This guy has run over 160, not marathons, ultra marathons, and he's won 40 of them. He's one of only 14 people to successfully complete the infamous Barclay Marathon's 100-mile trail race with no trail in the middle of nowhere. This guy is a legend. He's also a follower of Christ, and this is his prayer. Lord, thank you for the heat, the hills and the rocks. Thank you for the good days and the bad days, for the shin splints and the quad pain and everything else. Lord, thank you for letting this happen. I wish it hadn't, but I know I'll learn something. The Apostle Paul says it like this, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. For the love of God has been poured into our hearts, and the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. I want to talk through each of these terms with you today and how we can go from suffering to hope, and how we can be a people of God that can go the distance. Are you ready to run? All right, let's do it. Well, let's start with everyone's favorite word, suffering. Affliction, tribulation, pressure. This is the unavoidable pain of life. Ask God to give you endurance. What's he going to give you? Pain, because that's the only way to get it. A lot of people have been asking me, so how is Boston? And my one-word answer has been painful. I had a minor knee injury going into the race that I'd picked up while showing off to my kids at a trampoline park a couple of weeks before. And what started as a dull discomfort at the starting line grew into a searing sensation by mile 17, not too unlike having broken glass underneath your kneecap. This is not the face of a 5K fun run. And as we continue our tour, I'd like to draw your attention to the left mamilla, or my nipple. Let's just say I didn't spill red Gatorade on my shirt. That is the result of 50,000 revolutions against my synthetic polyester shirt. That was painful. But my suffering is nothing compared to the Apostle Paul's. Paul is well acquainted with pain. Just look at how he describes his life and ministry. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I feel like it's bad luck if you are shipwrecked one time. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily my pressure of my concern for all the churches. Anyone want to be a missionary? So when Paul says, rejoice in your sufferings, you can't picture him cozied up in his comfy chair by the fire, sipping on chamomile. You have to picture him drenched to the bone, holding on to broken boards, floating on the open sea. You have to imagine him beaten and bloodied within an inch of his life as he pens these words. Suffering produces endurance. But maybe Paul's description of his life doesn't sound too far off from your own. Maybe you haven't been shipwrecked, but maybe everywhere you turn, you just feel beat down. That nowhere feels safe, not even at home, not even the places that should feel safe. And you are so tired, you are exhausted, your legs are burning. And no matter how hard you work, the pressure just keeps building and building and building. Maybe your one word to describe your relationship with God today would be painful. There's church hurt. There's baggage there. And I want to equip you this morning to see the purpose in your pain, to build your base of endurance, to grow your character and have hope even when you're hurting. Well, I overheard a conversation between two runners at the finish line of a marathon one time. The first guy had come in first, and the second guy had come in towards the back of the pack. And the second guy said to the first, "I can't believe you ran that race in under 3 hours." And the first guy looked just as impressed when he said, "I can't believe you just ran for over 6 hours." Endurance is all about patience. The Greek word here, hupomone, means to bear under, abide courageously, and to be long suffering. It's your ability to take the pain and keep moving forward. It's pain with patience. You can't rush it. You can't speed things up. I hear people say all the time, "There's no way I could ever run for 30 minutes straight," to which I say, "Then you're not going slow enough." It's about your pace. Jennifer Farr Davis, she is the record holder for the Appalachian Trail. Incredible accomplishment. And this is what she has to say about endurance. She says, "Endurance is not the ability to overcome pain. It's the ability to endure it with no end in sight." And you know how fast she did those 2,189 miles? 2.5 miles an hour. That's a 25-minute mile. You see, David didn't get his start by just marching out onto the battlefield and slaying a giant. And Joseph's dream of becoming a great leader one day took a lifetime and a prison sentence to fulfill. And then there's guys like Abraham. When God showed him the night sky and said, "Count the stars, because one day you'll have more children than in the entire points of light in the sky," he never got to see that promise with his own eyes in his lifetime. Endurance takes patience, and patience prioritizes the process over our progress. It's about going on a 20-minute jog today, not a 20-mile run tomorrow. And James Clear outlines a really helpful chart for how to plan your process in his book, Atomic Habits. First, you determine what your goal is, where you're going, what's your finish line. And then you just work backwards from the most difficult steps to the very simplest ones that you could start today, that you could start right now after church. So if you want to run a 10K, first you got to run a 5K. And before that, you should probably walk a bit, maybe 10,000 steps. And before you do that, try walking just 10 minutes And it all starts with just putting on your shoes. Could you put on your shoes? You did to get here, hopefully. And if you want to read your Bible, that breaks down into just reading a single verse. You want to baptize your friend one day, it all starts with a single question today. And every time we choose to take the steps instead of the escalator, we set our alarm clock a little earlier so we can spend some time in the Word, we are expanding our capacity for endurance. And we choose endurance long enough, and it starts to become a part of us. It grows our character. Character is proven, tested, forged. We got any Forged in Fire fans in the house today? It will kill. There they are. They were ashamed, but I knew that would get it out of them. You can feel the heat of the flames coming off of this word as imperfections and flaws are burned away and something entirely new is created. Character is proving your mettle. It's the sweat-stained running hat. It's the bloody nipples on the t-shirt. It's the running shorts with holes worn into the high-friction areas. It's the running shoes that no longer are the original color they were when you took them out of the box. See, it's not the guy in the brand new top of the line gear at the starting line you need to worry about. It's the guy whose clothes look like they are deteriorating. That's who you got to keep an eye on because you know he has seen some miles. They have got grit. That's what endurance looks like. And the more you run, your body starts to change. And I'm not just talking about you lose a few pounds here and there, but your lungs start to expand. Your heart grows new capillaries. And as your VO2 max goes up, your heart rate goes down, and you become something new. Maybe you've done couch to 5K. That's quite a transformation right there. Training is about transformation. And this is when endurance doesn't just become something that you do, but it becomes something that you are. This is what Paul is talking about when he says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know only 1% of people have ever run a marathon? Do we have any of you crazies in here? Don't be ashamed. This is the series for you. Anyone do Boise River Marathon yesterday, or half, or 10K, or 5K? Come on, we got some runners in the house. Well, there are just as many different training plans as there are diets, but almost every endurance athlete has one thing in common, that is distance day. You know what I'm talking about, runners in the house? Maybe it's after church for you, maybe it's Saturday. But runners set aside one day a week to go the distance, to push themselves to and beyond their limits and see how far they can go. It's the most important training day of the week. Well, I had this friend who wanted to be a distance runner, so she asked if I could teach her to go and do this. And so we went on a jog, and about 10 minutes in, she was like, Andrew, something's wrong. I think I need to go to the hospital. I'm like, what? And she's like, my heart's beating really fast, and I'm all wet. I was like, honey, that's sweat. And this friend of mine who thought she was going to die 10 minutes into a jog just finished her first 10K. And as far as I know, she didn't end up in a hospital. But it's about pushing yourself a little bit further each and every week. And pretty soon, the sweat's not surprising, and your heartbeat finds its pace. I've even heard endurance athletes describe pain like an old friend, like an old familiar friend. Oh, there you are. It's been a while. Let's go. What does distance day look like in our faith? How are we stretching ourselves spiritually? Jesus said, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. This is where Go One More comes from. Jesus should be collecting royalties here. But what's distance day look like in your faith? What kind of soul-stretching opportunities are we seeking out? Because this is where we discover not just how far we can go, but it's where we discover what God is made of. there's a common sentiment among coaches that if you never fail, then you haven't set your goals high enough. And I'd say this, if we never push past what we can do, we're never gonna learn what God can do. We're never gonna experience the full power of what a God of miracles can do for us. We have Impact Month coming up in just under a month. And man, I wanna ask you, like, is impacting the world something we wanna do once a year? Is serving each other and loving our neighbors something we just do in the month of June? Or is that who we are? Is it something we do or something we are? And I'd say, I want that to be something that we are. And how can we use this month to be transformed? Not just to check off a task on a list, but to push past our comfort zones, step into uncharted territory where we're holding on to God for dear life, praying we make it through, and He reveals to us things like our calling, our core values, our passions, and who He made us to be. And the thing about Distance Day is, not only do we get to see how far we can go with God as He takes us into these unknown places, but then all the smaller steps of faith become that much easier for us to do. Choose endurance long enough, and it becomes character. It becomes a part of who you are. And that is when you start to experience hope. Hope is living in the pain, remembering that God has brought you this far, and trusting that He can take you the rest of the way. Hope expects joy. Your brain is the strongest muscle in your body, and running a marathon is just as much about what's happening in your mind as it is the rest of your body. I'll say this, the order at which competitors finish a race is not a direct representation of how fit they all are. They're all fit, but what determines the podium and the top 10 and the top 20 has much more to do with the mind. I've run a few ultras, and one of the number one questions that I get asked about these 10 to 15 hour long races is, what do you think about for that long? And I'll spare you some of the specifics, because it gets pretty dark in here. It's during some of the more difficult parts of a race. The pain in your body starts to infect your mind, too. But the same strategy can work in reverse. And what you believe in your mind has incredible power to push your body further than you ever thought possible. Some people have mantras. I don't know if anyone was watching. Maybe you're standing in Ann Morrison as a spectator yesterday. My brother and I went on a jog. We accidentally ended up in the race, and everyone started cheering for us, which felt great, by the way. There's aid stations, old ladies just like, you boys are looking strong. And I'm like, I am looking strong. Thanks. I'll tell you what, if you want to know, you want to know what grit looks like, go watch mile 24 and 25 of a marathon. But we are in mile 24, 25. Maybe if you've been in a setting like that, you've heard runners muttering to themselves and you thought, and that's why I don't run. They're crazy. But what they're doing is they're repeating these short, simple statements to themselves to keep going. They're actually speaking truth to themselves over and over and over again, like, just one more step. You're running for your kids. They'll never respect you if you don't finish this race. I'm getting very strong. And it works. And we can actually employ this same strategy when it comes to our walk of faith. God's promises hold incredible power, but only if we know them and repeat them and talk about them when we sit at home and we walk on the road and we write them on our doorposts. How would it change hope in your life? How would it increase hope in your life if the only thing that you did after today was every time you had the thought, I don't think I can do this, you replaced it with, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How would that change things for you? How would that change what happens at your workplace if when you rolled up into the parking lot, you just said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Sure, your coworkers are gonna think you've lost your mind as you're muttering at the water cooler, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But how would it change things at home? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Man, that might save a marriage right there. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Another powerful tool for hope is concentration. In the distance running world, we do a lot of self-manipulation because it doesn't help much 10K into a marathon to be thinking, only 20 miles left. And so we will intentionally limit our focus just to the most immediate next checkpoint. Just think about getting to the next aid station, to the next mile marker, just catching the runner that's ahead of me, or making it to the tree that's just around the corner. My running coach for cross country in high school actually gave me an interesting piece of advice when we were hill training one day. He said, Andrew, don't look up. And I didn't really get it, but the next time we found ourselves at the bottom of the hill about to go up, I tried it. I put my head down, I fixed my eyes just ahead of where my feet were landing, and I started pumping. And pretty soon my focus just was on my lungs breathing, my arms swinging, my legs pumping. And before you knew it, I was at the top of the hill. Didn't even realize. How much less worried would we be if we allowed ourselves to be fully focused and present in a moment? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. I'm telling you, Jesus should be making t-shirts. He's just got so much good stuff. Each day has enough trouble of its own. My accountability partner asked me this question every week, and it's one of the most helpful questions anyone asks me. He says, what is your 1% goal for growth this week? Could you make a 1% goal for your growth this week? Of course you could. And what's even better is you'd probably actually accomplish it, right? But so often we get focused on where we're not, on what we aren't, and how far we have left to go and to grow. But if you just focus on 1% growth this week, and you do that for a month, that's 4 or 5% that you've grown. One appointment, one assignment, one shift, one day at a time. And here's the incredible thing, the crazy thing about the mind, is God has actually designed it to reward you for pushing through pain. Did you know that? That when your body starts releasing lactic acid and your muscles are being torn down, your brain starts releasing endorphins, nature's painkiller, and it has the side effect to make you feel real good. Women release massive amounts of endorphins when they go into labor and delivery. That's why some women describe the experience as euphoric. Some women. But the pain of childbirth gives way to something so precious and so beautiful. And the same is true of your pain. On the other side of whatever problem, whatever tribulation, affliction, inevitable pain of life you find yourself in, there is joy and there is beauty. And here's what I've learned. It's the longest, hardest races that I've ever signed up for that I find myself in the absolutely most beautiful locations I have ever been in. The kind of stuff that computer desktops are made of. But you can't get there in a car or a plane. You've got to get there on foot, and it can be painful sometimes. So where do we go from here? How do we keep moving? I want to tell you the story of my very first marathon. I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and there's a trail race there called the Equinox. And this is the only thing you need to know about the Equinox. When the elevation chart is the logo for a race, something's not right, which is what I should have known going into it. But I had grown up on these trails. We did all of our cross-country practices on them, and so I knew, like, if I ever did a marathon, this was the one I had to do. And so I registered for the race. I got a standby ticket back home. And about 5 kilometers in, I was already starting to feel like this is a huge mistake. I have so much further to go. Like, I'm not even I'm like, I haven't even cleared 20 yet. I'm in double digits of miles that I have to do today. And then out from nowhere, from a trail off the side of the woods, runs up next to me one of my childhood buddies. He came to surprise me and join me for the race. And we started running together, stride in stride. Suddenly, I didn't really notice the miles just ticking off. We just talked and caught up. And here's the other thing about David. David is on the U.S. ski team. He's an esteemed mountain runner, and he is a hometown hero. And so every time we passed anyone, or anyone passed us, or we went by a spectator, they just lost their minds. I just had to pretend that I was David, and it totally changed the game of the race. I was like, this is awesome. And that helped for a while. That helped for a little while until we got to about the 10-mile mark. And at 10 miles in, there's a 5-kilometer stretch running 2,000 feet uphill. Apparently, I didn't see this before I signed up, okay? And we ran up that hill, and we made it to the top finally. And it took everything within me not to stop at the beer station that was right there at the turnaround point. But then we turned around and we started coming straight back down the hill. And I experienced a sensation unlike anything before in my life that I can only describe like someone pouring battery acid down my legs, which wasn't too far off because all the lactic acid that had been building and building and building during the climb was suddenly shaken loose and set my legs on fire. My legs weren't cramping, they were seizing. I've had calf cramps before. This was something different. You couldn't get it to stop. And so I stopped, and I just looked at David like this lost puppy. Like, what do I do? At this point, we had another 8 miles to go, and he said something in that moment I will never forget. He said, "Everyone feels like that sometimes. You just got to keep taking one more step." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "If you can't fly, then run. And if you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you've got to keep moving forward." When you don't think your marriage can make it one more day, just take one more step. When you feel like you have run out of prayers to pray, just keep taking one more step. When life has knocked the wind out of you and every step burns, you just got to keep moving forward, step by step by step, one step at a time, one day at a time. Well, David, true to form, he stuck with me every step of those last miles. And then as we entered into the home stretch right before the finish line, he turned around and he ran back the way we came to join up with his dad and brothers and finish the race with them again. And that's what Jesus does for us. Not only is he the ultimate example of endurance, he's won the race, but then he turns right around and he comes back for you. And he is running each and every step by excruciating step with you. And there's nowhere that he is calling you to go that he has not first gone himself. And so today, could you take another step? Could you keep moving forward? Are you ready to join Jesus in the only race that really matters? I want to finish with a passage out of Hebrews 12 from The Message. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us.
Thanks for tuning in to the Hill City Church podcast. You can find out more about our church at hillcityboise.org. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hill City Boise. We hope this teaching has encouraged you and helps you follow Jesus with everything.